We're back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, whether it's Alzheimer's or dementia, the mental impairment that comes along with old age is not only life-changing for those who suffer from it, but for their family members also. My next guest knows all about it and joins us now to tell us about the challenges that she faced. Elaine Pereira is the author of the new book, I Will Never Forget, a daughter's story of her mother's arduous and humorous journey through dementia. Elaine, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you, in fact, you are a Michigan resident yourself.
Yes, I grew up in Kalamazoo.
Okay. Now, it seems that, you know, taking care of an ailing parent is much easier if there are siblings or other families to members to help. Were you the primary caregiver, or were you getting some assistance?
I was the primary caregiver and the only caregiver. My mother had already buried two of her sons. My little brother died actually before I was born, and then my other brother died in 2004. So it really fell on me. If you're fortunate enough to have siblings that you can work well with, it's amazing and certainly would have been a great source of support and camaraderie. But I've also seen families where the siblings' situation becomes incredibly divisive. And given the two extremes, going it alone or arguing constantly or having decisions met in a counterproductive way by a brother or sister, I think I'd rather go it alone, and I did.
Tell me, how would you describe your mother before she began to suffer from dementia, and how did it become evident that there was a problem here?
My mother was amazing. She had a bachelor's degree in chemistry from Purdue University back in 1945. So this is an incredibly intelligent woman who trailblazed to leave the state of Indiana to go to Kalamazoo to work at Upjohn Company, and then went back to school when I was young to get a master's in education to do teaching. So she was very accomplished. She was very talented as far as craft skills, and she sold Halloween costumes and made things from scratch, as well as her intellectual prowess. But so the first real clue is when I had a new sports car. I had a red Chrysler Crossfire. And we were in the car one day, and she asked me what kind of car this was. And I told her, and she asked me again. And after the third or fourth time, it finally occurred to me that she couldn't remember having asked me the question already.
How old was she at the time?
She was, must have been about 82, 83, and she died just before her 87th birthday.
Well, so she was 83 years old, so she was clear-minded for the vast majority of her life.
Oh, yes, and this is why, although I'm not in a position to specifically say that it was Alzheimer's or not, it certainly was dementia, and there seems to be some question of whether it was specifically Alzheimer's. In the end, kind of doesn't matter because the profile looks very similar, and what you have to do for their safety and their care is pretty much the same.
I'm talking to Elaine Pereira, the author of the new book, I Will Never Forget, a daughter's story of her mother's arduous and humorous journey through dementia. So how quickly did it progress, and when did it really become debilitating to your mother?
It progressed fairly quickly with these little hiccups like I just described, asking me questions over and over again. At the time, she lived at in Kalamazoo in a senior facility, Friendship Village, and I still live in New Boston. So there's a couple-hour drive between us. And after my dad died in 04, then it was a little bit after that that these little things started to happen. By the time 2008 and 2009, there were enough instances that I was getting phone calls from the supervisors at Friendship Village bringing to my attention certain things. My mother was convinced that two pair of brown pants were missing and that someone had broken into her apartment or had a key made. And all these paranoias and inconsistencies of information and stories became increasingly more evident. Unfortunately, because when I went to visit her, I didn't really know what had transpired in a given month or a given couple of weeks, I could not always pick up on specific inconsistencies that really convinced me dealing with something.
What about, though, your relationship with her? Did she recognize you, or did she behave differently towards you as this was ongoing?
She always recognized me. I was very grateful for that, which is partly why the significance of the title is that she always remembered who I was. She couldn't always retrieve my name at the end. But her decline went fairly rapidly once it became very evident to me that she was no longer safe taking care of herself, and I did relocate her then closer to me, but that opened up a lot of drama for her, the adjustment, and it was a long year to the end. So she did decline fairly rapidly at the end.
Now, when you say a lot of drama, I mean, was she under a lot of stress? Was she expressing a lot of strong emotions as the dementia was becoming more prevalent?
Yes, absolutely. Very well said. She was always very kind and never raised her voice and very patient. And that was not the behaviors, they were not the behaviors I was seeing. She did raise her voice. She demanded that I take her back from where I'd moved her to, back to Kalamazoo or Friendship Village. And at times she even asked me or demanded that I take her back to Lafayette, which is her birth home. I remember her pirouetting on one foot to kick me in the butt in front of a lot of people at the facility that she was at. So her physical status was great, but her demeanor and disposition had really, really declined. And gradually, that seemed to level off. And every now and then would be these amazing lucid moments in which she would recognize that she had memory problems, that she was grateful for my intervention and my care and grateful to see me. So as ugly as the last year was, I'm at least appreciative that it was only one really ugly year many.
It sounds very challenging. I mean, how did you avoid from taking her angry outbursts personally, and you must have been at some points tempted to limit your exposure to her?
She was in an she was in a assisted living facility. She was not living with me. And that is something that she very much had made clear over the years, that she never wanted to impose on living with her kids. And I'm grateful that she had the resources to be in a facility where she was well taken care of all of the time and had people to be around besides being trapped at my house with very few people around except myself, my husband, and the pets. But yes, there were times it brought me to tears to see her feel so angry and towards me particularly. Also, I think at times I could sense that she was lucid enough, but not able to express it, that you could tell she was actually frightened, to feel disoriented and confused, and there were many breakdown moments. I made sure, after all the years of that she had been such a great person with me and to me and to others, that I brought my A game when I went to see her. She deserved it, and I just had to set some of those feelings aside and vent in the car or when I got home.
Now, dementia itself, that's the mental disorder. What led to her passing away?
She was diagnosed, her death certificate says Alzheimer's, and I think it is a brain disorder, and I think it just finally collectively took its toll. She had a surgery in May of 2010 and never really recovered from that. But I also think when I dealt with the hospice association, that her choice, if you will, to not eat was her way of taking control of her destiny at the end, even though she could not articulate it. by any means.
Now, you mentioned that you moved her to a new facility and that she expressed some anger about that. Do you have any second thoughts about that? And do you have advice for those who may have parents that are in the beginning stages of dementia on how to get through it in the best way?
Let me take the first part of that question. Is I have absolutely no regrets about having moved her. The two-hour drive from my house to Kalamazoo was just way too long to be a part of her life at the end on a regular basis. So I'm glad she was closer to me. It was going to be difficult transition, but I got to see her. I could be there in a half hour, and I got to see her three or four times a week, which was so much better than this brutal drive over and back. I just couldn't have gotten there any faster. My advice to people, I have a fairly extensive medical background, which both worked for me and against me. It worked for me because I could understand the jargon. It worked against me because I saw my mother as a glass half full. Much longer, and I wasn't quite as receptive to listening to the people from Friendship Village who brought to my attention their concerns. So my advice, clearly, is to keep a log. And if you're going it alone like I was, then there are resources. Her physician I met with once, and that was a good resource for me. And the people at Friendship Village who were calling to give me information that was really in my mother's best interest, I needed to listen to a little bit sooner than I did. So my general advice is if you have siblings and you're working well with your siblings, then compare notes from time to time on how you see your parents. And don't be afraid to ask questions or to network with your parents' internist, which I did, so I could get another perspective since I kind of bore the weight of the decisions myself.
Elaine Pereira, the author of the new book, I Will Never Forget, a daughter's story of her mother's arduous and humorous journey through dementia. Elaine herself, originally from Kalamazoo, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.